You're listening to Awake, a men's podcast by Fellowship Bible Church. Welcome back to another episode of the Awake podcast. We are so excited to be back with you as we continue our conversation on what it looks like to be in relationship with God, with other brothers in our life. And I am excited because we just wrapped up our six-week study on Awake, and we had a really great time. I was really encouraged by the turnout, really encouraged by the teachers who stepped up and stepped out of their comfort zones. So super excited to get to kind of debrief that today. So we're going to have kind of a debrief conversation on the Awake study and just kind of around the topic of men in community. And we're going to do that with Brian Trias and Sean Leary. So guys, welcome on to the podcast.
What's up, Liam? Welcome. I'm just happy to be back. It's been a few months since I got back in here, and happy that we got Brian on, and just just awesome times. Awake was incredible. It was just really fun. It's a quick 6 weeks. Good community. Yeah, going on. So we're happy to have Brian on as well too.
How you doing, Brian?
Thanks for having me. Doing well.
Yeah. We are, so this episode will be coming to you guys probably November 1st. So the night previously. A lot of families might be having some kids running around collecting candy or just buying the various kinds of candy that are at the stores at this time. So I'm curious, is there a top candy and a bottom tier candy that comes to your mind when you guys think about this time of year? Like, what are you rating from the bags that come through your door, Brian?
Top candy is actually harder for me to answer. Bottom candy is easily. It's like Almond Joy. I don't know why anyone.
They're so bad.
That's not. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
But like Twix, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Kit Kats.
Very classic.
Yeah. Like Baby Ruth or even Paydays. Ooh. Like
yay.
Hundred grand.
You're losing me.
It's not as bad as Almond Joy.
Oh, okay. Are you an Almond Joy guy?
Nah, okay. Well, I'm not. It's not the bottom of the list. The bottom, my head went to Dots when I'm thinking maybe like
that's a sleeper pick for me. I'm not going to lie. I kind of like Dots.
I like a first box of Dots, but then after that, you're like, what am I still doing chomping on these things?
Yeah, it's wax. So. You're eating a handful of wax.
So we called it the dad tax, though. Uh-huh. Like an everyday dad got dad tax for the. They didn't really like that, and now it's kind of a joke. So.
Yeah. It's awesome. So top of the list now is like Brian is classic, probably Reese's or Snickers, full size candy bar.
Yeah. You know, on that, you gotta find those full size.
What
ones.
About you?
I would say bottom one's easy. It's Whoppers. Whoppers are like the worst candy ever created in my mind. I don't just miss me with that malt stuff, whatever that is. That's just gross.
All right. So we have a funny Whoppers story in our family. It was Betsy's sister's favorite candy, and Betsy's mother would get her a thing of Whoppers every year for Christmas. Well, one year her dad found it and opened it and took some out. And so when she opened it for Christmas morning, like it was an opened thing of Whoppers, right? And so that then became the new tradition in the family. Who was going to open the Whoppers?
Just steal some Whoppers.
Eat Whoppers before it was then wrapped. And then,
that's hilarious. Yeah. I don't know any. I don't see them for sale other than in this month. So I'm like, just stop with them. They're not good.
Target aisle, you can always catch those, you know, for a buck onto that.
So. But I'm a little bit more of a niche on the top tier candy. They've been starting to make these more in the fun size pack, but Nerd Gummy Clusters, so good.
It's my daughter's favorite candy.
They're so good.
Yeah, speaking of those two, I feel like the daddy-daughter dance was sponsored by like Nerd's Gummy Clusters.
There were
like
as well
a million of them. Everybody was
when
like
I get to go to Sam's
those.
And make the decision on what candies are represented, you better believe that I'm going to pick a candy that I might walk by and pick a couple out every time I go.
That's fun.
So yeah, I would say the marshmallows. Yeah, speaking of, we just had our daddy-daughter dance at the end of the month, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
I got to see around 360 dads and daughters come out for that event. You guys were both there with your daughters. Got to see a lot of other guys in the ministry. So that was a ton of fun. Like when Allie and I were pregnant, there was a part of me that was just like, I really want to have a daughter because of how much I love this event.
Yeah.
Because it's just so cool. It's one of my favorite things. I know you've said that. It's one of the favorite things that we do as a church.
I think it's one of the best things we do as a church. It's my daughter's favorite day of the year, she said. So.
Yeah.
Well done. And,
that could be another whole topic in itself. Yeah. I've got a 1.5-year-old. So while I was there for like 35 minutes and then she's like, it's my bedtime and I'm not having fun anymore. I'm like, would you pay attention to everybody on the dance floor? Like they're church clapping right now. Like we have to go church clap. And she's like, we have to get out of here.
Church clap.
No, but I saw you trying to.
I tried to do a lot of stuff. I don't know how to do anything.
There are going to be some great photos of dads and daughters on the FBC website gallery. So if you want to see some great photos of dads just doing their darndest to try every dance under the sun, go check those out. It was very entertaining. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Yeah, it was a good time.
And get ready for next year. Yeah.
Yeah. Next year's coming in. One theme TBD. We're still trying to figure out what we want to do for next year's theme, but this one turned out well. I don't know how many of you know, but our family building's been under construction for for the last week. And so it was like, oh no, what are we going to do to try and like cover it up? But I think, so Allie, my wife, does a ton with the decorations. I think she did a stellar job of hiding a lot of the renovations that were going on. So shout out to her. Shout out to all the volunteers from men's ministry and other ministries in the church that came and helped us out with that. You guys made an awesome event happen. So we're super grateful for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm glad you guys were a part of it. Glad you guys got to experience some of that fun. And now we're kind of on this time of year in men's ministry where we're kind of trending a little bit down in our activity. But I do want to let you guys know about an upcoming opportunity to kind of stay connected in some of the social events that we're doing. We want to still continue opportunities to get together as brothers. And so we have partnered with 8 Iron Therapy to have another event on the second Saturday in November. If you want to get out and hit some balls into a screen and have a good time with some guys, have some donuts and coffee on Saturday morning, we'd love to have you. Information's on the website. Head to FBC Topeka or fellowshiptopeka.com/events. I will probably still trip up on that URL for the rest of my life. But head to our website, check out the event page, sign up. Space is limited, so be sure to go and sign up for that event. Would love to see you there. I will challenge you one-on-one and probably lose, but I would love to do it. So let's talk about the Awake study. We just wrapped that up. You guys both had tables. Tell me about what your experience was like. Were you with guys you knew? Have you done it before with these guys? Just kind of high level, what was your experience like coming through this study this time?
I've been with some of the guys at my Awake table I've been with since the very first one. And then some have been joined year two and year three. My group largely started with the first one when we had Joe ask us to put groups together. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to have guys who I think had sixth grade sons. I think that's how it started. And then it's kind of just morphed a little over time, but it was a repeat. And we had actually done it in the spring or the winter.
Okay.
And knowing that the teaching dynamic was going to be a little different and that we hadn't been quite as regular through the summer getting together, I thought it was just an opportunity to kind of regather and reignite. Mm. So
you guys had been doing some of the monthly gatherings over the podcast from when we started the podcast with that group. Yep. And have kind of like welcomed in a few new guys over time.
A few guys have gone, a few guys have left.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I was thinking, is this our third year that we've done it? Was this number six question. Technically?
I think it is year three.
So I was thinking number six.
Because this is our third season of the podcast. So yeah, this is year three.
So I'm with some newer guys. It's kind of just been a changing dynamic throughout. But this set, I was with a guy I had just recently sold a car to about a month prior, Greg. Uh-huh. And
I wondered how that happened.
Yeah, that's exactly. Serious. Yeah. And you golf. Yeah. And then it was like, hey, FBC or Awake's coming up. He's like, all right, I need to get more involved. So yep. Greg, and then a guy that I'm in a small group with, and then and Chisholm as well. So then we'd been in one of these together as well. So it was
kind of a mix.
Yeah, a mix of but guys I was semi-comfortable with onto that. And then just to think that some of the same guys that I started season one with, per se, and are still, meeting or have kind of branched out as well too. So trying to kind of definitely just kind of keep branching out with that under there.
And if you guys could like think back to the 6 weeks, was there any teaching or any moment that kind of stuck out as kind of a marked moment for you guys in terms of, man, that was really good. That's something that I want to hold on to from the study over time. Anything come to mind?
Well, kind of just wrapping back up to that first question too. I had done it with about four different guys this winter. Mm-hmm. And when I told them it was going to be the same content, they were like, all right, well, maybe we won't do it as much. And I said, hey, well, the teaching dynamic is going to maybe be a little bit different. And so one of them kind of was like, all right, yeah. And we're all busy, right? 6:30 in the morning. But that teaching dynamic, that's kind of, that was at week one when you guys all walked up there and said, hey, each one of us is going to teach, which was different than Joe and Greg, right, doing it. So it was already, all right, these guys are being vulnerable. These guys are going to, you know, our brother, you know, we sit by these guys or have coffee or conversation. And, you know, these guys haven't really, or some of us knew, hey, these guys haven't taught on a platform before. They're just being encouraged by God's word and vulnerability. So I think that first moment kind of stood out. And then through each week, each guy, something that they did kind of stood out in the in the lessons to me, for sure.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I really hope it's not recency bias that it's the last one that sticks out the most in my mind. Mm-hmm. But a couple of different things about the last one. It was the purity talk that Zach Fate did. One, Zach had met with me and Greg Armbruster many months ago and just kind of thought, I feel like I have a teaching gift and I don't know what to do with that. And so we were like, well, take opportunities, like get in front of people. And Zach did that. He took this opportunity, and I thought he did really well with it. And so that was just cool seeing that process. But then I really appreciated how bold he was with the topic. I think with purity talks, especially with men, it's easy to tiptoe into it and kind of try to just step into the water lightly because you don't want to ruffle any feathers. And he's just like, I don't care. I'm just going to jump in.
Yeah.
And from the very beginning, it's like, we're just going to get uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And you're going to sit in your own thoughts for a while. And then you're going to have these conversations with guys. And so I thought the content was good. And I thought the question time was really good. It spurred really good discussion at our table.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've had a table that's been together for a long time. So did you feel like it was easy on that one to really just kind of dive right into conversation? Were guys willing to just kind of go there?
Yeah, and having done the purity talk again, you know, we're able to talk about things we had talked about before. Mm-hmm. And so it was, there was a high level of trust at our table where guys could share where they're at.
Mm-hmm. And so you were kind of a mix. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, because that purity talk was week six. And so we had already kind of, you know, known each other for a while. And so, and there was, you know, the Holy Spirit was in the room. I feel like each week and even once again, recency bias, but even if he would have done that 2 weeks ago or previously to that, I probably still would have thought the same thing if the same thing happened. Holy Spirit was all over the room that morning. He punched us in the nose with our, like, calling us to sin, calling us to the mat, like, write down, I have, you know, your sexual sins, and then write down a prayer to God, you know, and go to repent and turn. So that was the first call. So then it was like, all right, take a minute, get real with myself, and then share. So his just whole process into that was awesome. And a person who really kind of stood out to me too and was Caleb, just the way that Caleb was and authentically himself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way he has felt so called by the Spirit and his faith is just, it's on example. You know, First Timothy, be an example of these things, his example of conduct and his speech, the way that I see it in Go Team and the men's ministry, how he has been really impressive onto that. So the example that both of those guys set led all of us to follow that morning and continuously do that. So what were your thoughts kind of?
Yeah, I mean, so specifically on that last week, I was super encouraged by my table. It was all guys that I had seen or knew partially, but we'd never really been in a community together. So it was a lot of newness. Mm. It was an open table. So it was just kind of like, hey, let's throw a bunch of guys together and see what happens. And I was super encouraged throughout the whole process, just the willingness of that group of guys to engage from the get-go. And there was different personalities, some guys more quiet, some guys more willing to share, but everybody was willing to engage on all of the topics. And especially the last one that I think can be really difficult for guys to jump into. I think Zach's bold call from the jump really helped to kind of be like, all right, I already wrote it down. I've already prayed to God. Now let's talk about it as a group. So overall, I was super encouraged. There's always this like small bit of fear in you when you are responsible for a ministry to like let go of some of the control when you let other people stand up and talk, stand up and teach.
But man, I was just so encouraged by the group of guys that taught throughout this time, the facilitators that led at tables, guys who jumped in and led open tables like Kevin Connard and Brian Hess, who just jumped in and were like, hey, put me with whoever. I'm willing to lead guys. Like, that kind of stuff just pumps me up. So I've been really encouraged. There was just something unique about this last set study that I found really encouraging, to see new faces of guys who have been around men's ministry for a little while, really connecting with other brothers in this space. Guys who have been mentoring guys on the side, invite them to their table, and then building a deeper community like I know Maurice has been doing. So I was super excited. And that's kind of what I want to talk a little bit about today in this episode, is the importance of Christian community in the life of men. So kind of on that big picture question, what do you guys think is so important about guys having this kind of group, having this kind of space where not just meeting for these 6 weeks, not just meeting for once a month, but having just a life of brothers around you that you live in fellowship with? Like, Brian, what would you say is kind of the big value there?
I think it's hard for me sometimes to answer a question like this because of the reality of what my work day is like. Like, I am around wonderful Christian brothers on a almost hourly basis, and people who have freedom to speak into my life, right? Like, you know, Doug and Bill and Joe, and, you know, I see the elders twice a month, and there is this consistent group of people that, for me, it's hard to understand that not everyone has that all the time. And so one of the things that really stood out to me with the very first Awake session that we did was when four of the six guys at the table said they didn't have another environment in their lives at all where they could talk about, you know, godly issues with, or what life looked like, or how they were doing in their marriage. And for me, having that so regularly available, I kind of, it's second nature almost. And for these guys, I was able to understand that they felt alone, that they felt like helpless when things were going bad because they didn't have anyone they could turn to. And when you are able to have some of those conversations, you feel like you're not alone. You feel like I'm not unique in a bad way. And so I hope I answered the question.
And as you're saying that, it made me kind of think that from my perspective, working, you know, in a public kind of sect and in sales, right, where it's just a little bit more kind of gritty, looser words, conduct is a little bit more, you know, toey on the line in just certain situations and conversations. And not that it's right and wrong, good and evil, right? And so just a lot of my coworkers kind of know me as, you know, the Christian, like, oh, we're not gonna, Sean, cover your ears. And it's kind of a joke sometimes, but I think I try to have my conduct, you know, and my reputation keep preceding me in those situations. So it's kind of a weird complex, but it's because I try to force this community to be it's my second nature, you know, my community of brothers, but I want it to be my first nature. You know, I want it to be constantly surrounded by brothers. And how important this, the question was, how important, what does it look like? How important is that? It's deadly important. You know, it's, if you want to be in a community that's not going to live the biblical principles, you'll find shallowness, you know, in that. So to be surrounded by the men of FBC, you know, and to force yourself to get uncomfortable and to, you know, meet 6 weeks and then develop relationships. And one of these questions we have is how do you deepen relationships? Deepen relationships is vital to just what you want in life, right? If you're trying to search my heart and my mind, then what do I want out of that? And that's family values on that. So it's deadly important.
I think you've done a good job, Sean, of being intentional to build that community in not just with older men in the church, but also your peers. I've seen you do that. You've done that with your Awake tables. You've done that with your small group that you started with some guys from Awake. And you also do that with mentor figures as well. So I've been encouraged to see that you recognize that you needed this and you've been pursuing that, which I think is a struggle for a lot of guys, that we might know that we need this, Like maybe we get a taste of it for 6 weeks, but then the group doesn't continue. So what do I do? How do I initiate? So I kind of want to zoom in there for a little and kind of shift for a second, but what does it look like to pursue this in a way to build that kind of community? Like, how do you start?
Yeah, I think it's constant invitations. Mm. I have a guy, Chris Deering. He sends out a thing every Tuesday night to a group of us. And it's like, hey, pickleball between 5 and 8 tonight. Right. And sometimes 4 people show up and sometimes 2 people show up. Mm-hmm. But it's this constant putting out there that it's good for us to gather. And I have another group that's, you know, hey, lunch on Friday. Who can show up? And I think you have to just start inviting. Mm-hmm. And the problem with invitations is that rejection comes along with that. Mm-hmm. You feel like I'm going to put myself out there and then no one's going to reciprocate. But you can't start unless you start. Mm-hmm. And identifying a group of people that you want to spend some time with and letting them know and then actually inviting them to do something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've noticed, and I mean, I think this is true men and women, because I have this conversation with Allie all the time, that there's almost this feeling of, well, if they wanted to spend time with me, they would reach out to me. Mm. It's like, in some ways, yes, relationships are a two-way street. But at the end of the day, I think it is on us to initiate those things that we desire. If we want them to be true, if we want to see true Christian fellowship and community happen, it doesn't happen on accident. And frankly, it's not often going to happen if we just wait on somebody else to start it for us, that it does take that initiative to pursue that.
And I will say, I'm a terrible initiator. Yeah. But I remember having a conversation in college with a guy who was, he's like, I feel like our friendship is one-sided. Like, I do all of the asking. And I'm like, yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, that's just the way it was going to be.
Yeah.
So for me, it's having discipline then to say yes when invitations come, especially when I don't want to, mm-hmm. right? When I just want a leisurely Friday and the thing comes for lunch, it's like, no, I need to go and do that. Mm-hmm. I need to go and play pickleball. I need to say yes to coffee, even if it's not the thing that I would probably prefer to do.
Yeah.
And so some people need to respond to that prompt to be the initiator, mm-hmm. to put it out there. Some people need to receive that prompt and say yes because of the value of community.
Yeah. I was just kind of thinking about like the challenges that are busyness, right? And just the schedules. And it's like, I only have 3 or 4 hours, you know, how am I going to push that in? So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like, or just what am I going to fill my time with? Or, you know, just mm-hmm. saying no to kind of invitations. But then just being consistent, I think you said that was a word, because, you know, Mitch and I have been meeting on Monday mornings at Milk and Honey for, you know, and Hoop do. You know, we're just all busy. We all have busy seasons of life, but it's been like 3 straight years of just like Monday mornings, and some guys come in, some guys come out, you know, it's just a time thing. But just being consistent and constantly just asking, you know, new guys, mm-hmm. and you never know what that morning, you know, talks about, you know, with maybe someone's dad just passed away or just whatever it was, it's always encouraging. So that's kind of how I keep finding community, is like just being like, I feel like I have brothers everywhere. I mm-hmm. look onto that, you know, it's, and that's important, you know, is to, you know, have many, you know, opportunity, deep, you know, deep relationships, but many relationships. So
I think that's, you guys kind of hit on it in different ways, but there are a lot of obstacles and challenges that keep us from wanting to do this. And I think some of those can be busyness. It can just be work busyness. It can be activities. If we have a bunch of kids that are involved in 1,000 different things, family expectations, wanting to invest well in our families, that's not a bad thing. But I also think that it can be an obstacle to growth in that space specifically, because I need to have brothers who are pushing me and encouraging me so that I'm actually a better husband and a better father, better in my job, better in, you know, the different hobbies or activities, whatever those things look like. So how do we overcome or think differently about the obstacles and challenges that keep us from initiating or keep us from consistently engaging in community, whether it is busyness or different priorities or different things like that? Like, how do you guys kind of overcome those things to push through?
I call to prayer sometimes. It's, you know, those Monday mornings aren't always great, or when I'm running super late, work keeps me, you know, late last night, we've got merge class, you know, mm-hmm. and I have those, you know, a community of brothers, young couples that, you know, it's been great for our marriage, but it's just like, just dying to myself. I was talking to my wife and my 1-year-old daughter, and I said, it's just sometimes so difficult just to deny yourself. You know, at 1-year-old, she just wants what she wants, but it's like, I'm kind of the same thing at 1-year-old and 33 years old. You wake up and you want what you want, but mm-hmm. just having to deny yourself is just as practical as I can get it and pick up my cross. So it's kind of with work last night or every Monday morning or these 6-week studies, you know, that's like, all right, another 6 weeks at 6:30 in the morning, you know, it's like, okay, just deny myself and my wants of a little mm-hmm. sleep or a little, go home and rest or unplug. It's just like, mm-hmm. no, just like dig in deeper and kind of see what I can do. So it's kind of just a mental kind of prayer for mm-hmm. me. It starts, you know, my answer to that.
Yeah. I think you have to, you know, understand the long game and mm-hmm. keep on understanding like what is needed in the end. Right. So, we want to have good relationships with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And especially when bad things happen, we want to be able to depend on Him. Well, if we have not developed what a relationship with the Lord looks like when that temptation comes or that trial comes, like we have nothing to fall back on. Mm-hmm. We have no history. You go and run, you want to run a marathon. If you just say, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and go run a marathon, mm-hmm. it's going to be terrible, right? Mm-hmm. We understand that stuff. Mm-hmm. The community is no different. You know, we had a friend who their son got a diagnosis and had to have a procedure. And we just saw a community come around them. Well, they've invested in that community for years. Mm-hmm. And when trial came, the community was able to jump in. And oftentimes what's sad in the church is someone will go through something really hard and they'll be like, well, the church wasn't there for me. Mm-hmm. And you try to diagnose it after the fact and there's not been a connection that's made, and that's sad. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not trying to place fault or blame on anyone. It's, we are designed to need each other. Yep. I don't possess everything that I need to get through all the things in life. Mm-hmm. And if I have not in the down times taken time to develop that community, develop those relationships, mm-hmm. when they are truly needed or when they're going to be most beneficial, we're not going to be able to call on them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that the reality is that we can do the initiating, we can do the work, and we can form these great groups, be consistent, and sometimes it breaks down. Sometimes community falls apart, sometimes people move away, sometimes even guys like your group who's been together for the last couple of years become inconsistent through the summer months. It's like, these things can happen. It's very real, and we see it all the time. But that's not a reason to not keep trying or to not just start back over or to restart it. Like if we drop off for a couple of months, the value is still there. The importance of community is still there. So don't let the failure of one community or the failure of that same group of community keep you from saying, all right, let's jump back in. I'm going to restart this. And I'm not going to put blame on somebody else for the group falling apart or nobody else inviting. I'm going to take responsibility and I'm going to initiate to make this happen. I just think it is so important for us to take ownership of that and to pursue it regularly. You know, I had in college, and it felt like I was just given that I just kind of fell into the lap of great community of friends that were my roommates, that were randomly assigned, that became great Christian brothers, that developed in my fraternity. I felt like it was just kind of there. And in some ways, college is kind of an incubator for those kinds of relationships. And then you grow up and you graduate and you get into the real world and friendships just get a lot harder. It gets a lot harder to just find good Christian brothers who you spend time with because your time is different, their time is different. But man, that's where I think it takes even more initiative and more work to prioritize and to spend time with them. So maybe it is inviting them into the things that you're already doing. We talk about this with mentoring all the time. It's not so much saying you need to have a separate thing, but it might just be, how do I invite people into the things that I already have going on? You know, I had some troubles with my car. And so it was a guy who I knew had some wisdom there that he's already doing these things and inviting me in to be able to learn how to do these things while also being encouraged. So it doesn't have to be a brand new thing that we're starting up every time, but how can we be intentional in the spaces that we're already having these relationships or can just invite guys into? So that's kind of the big thing that's just been sitting with me. What do you guys think?
Well, I was kind of thinking about that guy that you work on that car with. Mm-hmm. Like, how's your, we're talking about like deepening your relationship. Have you seen, you know, obviously having many relationships, but like having like not all your relationships with everybody. You have a bunch of relationships. Yeah. You too. I mean, you guys have a ton of friends and just relationships, good relationships throughout this entire church. You know, some deeper than others. What do you think, you know, caused that or... what do you think caused that deepness in the relationship other than we went through some stuff together, you mm-hmm. know, because going through trial with somebody is a great way to form relationships. But other than trial, like how can we smile through a deepened relationship with somebody?
You want to hit that one first?
Well, the two words that come to my mind are time and vulnerability.
Yeah.
And, there are relationships that are deep fast, and I don't know how to explain that, but you just instantly have like a kinship and you have a deep trust. Most of the time it takes time. Especially if you're a person who's slow to give trust. But the second is being vulnerable. And, the best book I've ever read about relationships is called The Power of the Other by Henry Cloud. And he talks about corner four relationships. And just to sum it up really quickly, it is a relationship where you can be your full, complete self around someone else. And there is no element of judgment. Like they're not going to turn away from you. It takes time there, but the more you share and the more you realize that this is a trusted person, I can share them the real details of my heart, the real details of my soul, and they're going to love me. They're going to call me to Christ. They're going to point me in the right direction, and they're going to do it with me, not judge me. When you find those people, you hang on to them and you treasure them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great question. Can you ask it one more time? I was paying attention to Brian and not thinking for myself.
No, yeah, I was just talking about like how do you deepen a relationship with somebody through through good times, not hard times.
Okay. So I think something that I had to learn over the last 5 years of working here is I meet a lot of different people. And especially in my job with connections and with men's ministry, there are a lot of people who... I have good intentional conversations with that. I don't know if this sounds bad to say, but there's a part of me that recognized that I have a really limited capacity of who I can go that deep with, not only receive from them, but also to give of myself in that kind of full, authentic corner four kind of way. But when I realized that, when I was able to recognize, it's like, okay, I have a limited capacity. And I'm going to invest really deep into this group of people or these guys that are in my life. That was honestly kind of liberating for me. I'm kind of one of those guys that feels like I want to be everybody's best friend and I want to spend time with everybody, get to know everybody and everybody get to know me. But it's just not realistic. Not with the time that I have and my desire to invest well in my family and my job and all of these other things. It's like, yeah, I need to kind of pare down my circle intentionally and invest in those people. Now that can fluctuate and change. Some people come and some people go, and so that's okay. But it was just a recognition that I'm gonna focus on a few and go really deep there. Mm-hmm. And that looked like me inviting them to do things. A couple of guys that I meet with weekly, a couple of guys biweekly. So it's just knowing what to say no to as well as who to say yes to and give them my full yes. Yeah. That's kind of what's been helpful.
You know, with my Awake group, that initially started because there were dads with sixth graders, sixth grade boys. Well, you know, one of my closest circles right now is the dads who have eighth graders. And the kids were hanging out at school. They're hanging out at church. Most of them ended up coming to the 5 o'clock service. So there was a lot of like conversation. Well, then we go on the mountain trip. And here you have this event where it's not a trial. Like nothing bad's happening to you, but it's hard. Mm-hmm. you're seeing people at their when they're tired, but you see these dads who are just helping each other and carrying backpacks. And so all of a sudden we've now had this bonding experience that like we have a lot of shared stories and memories. And so it's kind of that saying yes to some things and mm-hmm. putting yourself in some of those situations to mm-hmm. allow memory type moments to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we think about that with our kids, the importance of creating memories and those experiences that kind of mark moments. And I think having that with friends is a really strong and powerful way to build that relationship for sure.
Yeah. It could be something like ShareFest. Yeah. Like we go serve together or we do a Love Topeka thing together, mm-hmm. but just making memories together mm-hmm. is a way to kind of grow some of those relationships.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. Did I hear a rumor that like we were trying to do a base camp type situation, men's ministry?
What is that?
Clifton, didn't he do base camp? It was like a men's base camp.
I think that's a rumor.
I thought I heard you might know more than I do. I thought I heard Craig talking about that under that. So,
I mean, we've talked about a desire to have like kind of a men's retreat or mm-hmm. men's conference for sure.
Yeah.
Knowing that sometimes it's these kind of like set apart moments that allow for creating these memories and experiences.
Correct.
But to all of you listening, there is nothing on the calendar.
Okay, so fair under that. Yeah. I know, and I'm sorry to spin it. It was I had just based off men's and not that that has to be this grander event that everybody, but it's in the real world. But
yeah. To that end, like, you could be in a fantasy football league
mm-hmm.
with people and where you are growing relationship.
For sure.
A shared interest. Like we're getting together, we're doing this. We like competition. We like to needle each other. We mm-hmm. like to eat pizza, you know, and you do something. You having a deeper relationship is going to require something that's bringing you together.
Yeah,
something
absolutely.
That's a common interest. 100%.
Vetoing trades has brought together men in this church that we feel against we are connected.
Me. Yes. Against me.
Yes.
I'm the 100%. Commissioner in a league.
You are a villain.
And just I'm a bad guy.
He's the villain.
I'm a bad
guy,
league. For sure.
Yes, he is Goodell.
So if there's anybody out there that's a commissioner in a fantasy football league, I'm looking for a support group to really help me last in the league that I'm a part of where everybody hates me. Yeah. So.
And if anyone wants to learn about Liam's shenanigans that happen, and then talk
it's
to anybody.
Board. It's all above board. All above board. Well, guys, I appreciate this conversation. I really think that there is so much value in men spending time together and building these kinds of friendships. And I feel like guys know that, but it's just how do we get past the obstacles? How do we get past the lack of desire to be vulnerable? And there's just so much at risk when we do this. You're risking yourself. You're risking, you know, feelings of comfort, feelings of security sometimes when you face rejection. But at the end of the road, what we're all kind of moving towards is how can we all grow in our relationship with Jesus? How can each one of us look more like Jesus in our work and our families and the spheres of influence and responsibilities that we have? That's ultimately what we want to do as a ministry is help guys grow in their relationship with God. And we believe that one of the best ways that we can do that is in community. Like that's what Jesus wanted for his people, is to be in fellowship with one another. And in so doing, we're built up into one body, into the image of Jesus. And so guys, if you're listening to this and it's like, I have this, stay faithful in it. Be consistent in it. If it lapses, be the one who's willing to initiate and to start that back up. Be the guy who sends out the same text every week, inviting guys to do those things and join you in them. If you don't have it, who is one person that you can reach out to and invite into that? And if they tell you no, who's the next guy? Who's the next guy? Don't stop until you have this beautiful picture of men sharpening one another in their faith, because it has been a life-changing thing for me to have in my life. I know it's been true for these guys. And if it's something that you desire, I want to challenge you and encourage you to take initiative to move towards this and pray. Ask the Lord to not only give you the names of the guys who you might be able to reach out to, but to open those doors and opportunities as you make those asks. Okay? Because it doesn't just fall into our laps. It doesn't happen that way all the time. And so I want to challenge you to make the most of this time. Brian, Sean, thank you guys so much for being with us on this episode. I've been encouraged by the conversation and pray guys have been as well. And guys, be on the lookout for information on how to continue to engage in community, whether it's through our social outings like the men's golf opportunity or future studies and events as we look towards the new year. Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Awake Podcast. We will see you next time.